Welcome to the Reality of Herbal Therapy podcast.
Yeah, but before we begin, we want to inform you of our disclaimer. Do not feel that by listening to this podcast that we have dispensed medical advice to you or have given you the ability to treat yourself or others with this information. We do not directly or indirectly dispense medical advice or prescribe the use of herbs as a form of treatment for sickness without medical approval. It's not the intent of this podcast to diagnose, or prescribe. The intent is only to offer herbal information from the herbalist's point of view, only for your consideration. In the event you use this information without your doctor's approval, you are prescribing for yourself, which is your God-given right. But the publisher and authors assume no responsibility.
Today we're going to talk about those behavioral disorders that are happening all over around us, and everybody just wants to like stick them on a drug or give them this or give them that. So on our panel today, we have Dr. Michael James and his son, Scott.
Which is an herbalist in his own right, a physician. In fact, he's my doctor. A lot of people say, well, who's that kid? It's like, well, that's my doctor. Okay. Everyone is affected by behavioral disorders.
Yeah. What?
So, huh? Challenges? What do you do? Oh, my goodness.
Sorry.
This is starting out real good. Okay. I think every family has a child, a niece, a nephew, a grandkid, somebody that has behavioral challenges. Now, we're going to give you some things to think about because we're not slamming the chemicals, although if you're trying to keep kids off chemicals, we want to give you some ideas to be able to find out if they work for you. We always believe that illness comes from two things, either a toxicity or a deficiency or and or both of those. So we're going to try to give you some ideas to feed and nourish the nervous system so learning disabilities, behavioral disorders are less. So everybody's been affected by it. I've got a little grandkid that, boy, I tell you, he gets wound up. He's wound up. The whole family's involved. I mean, even if they live in another state, he's got everybody else wound up because he's just so out of control. And you can see the little guy, he's just beside himself with no tools, no help. He's just got to go until it runs its course, and it's just miserable for him, and it's miserable for the family. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and some things that we can do for it. I don't think this is going to be a terribly long podcast. Because
we always say that and it goes like 30 minutes. 30 minutes.
Well, I mean, the subject is pretty straightforward. Kids are out of control. I can and have seen this happen. I have a little granddaughter that is just as sweet and as kind as the day is long. She can eat a pickle, and she's a can of worms. She's not mean and nasty, but she's just wound up like a top. And we discovered what it was. We discovered it was yellow dye in pickles. They put yellow dye in pickles. You know, you think a pickle is just a cucumber that they pickled. No. A lot of it, in fact, most of them put yellow dye in because they want that pickle to be the same color every time. And that yellow dye just winds that little kid up.
And the nephew you're mentioning before, red dye generally winds him up. Well, red, yellow dye, any of the dyes wind kids up like that. And even if you don't have a tendency to have ADHD or any of those sorts of issues, those colors can still wind you up. I know if I have a lot of red dye or anything like that.
Do you start the morning off with it today?
No. I start to feel antsy.
Anxious?
I feel anxious, and there's just a feeling that comes with those. But when it's put in a kid that already has tendencies towards those issues,
it blows it out of the water.
It's just
so paying attention to red dyes and those sorts of things, and eating clean meats, because a lot of times they put red dye in meat to keep it a consistent color as well. And it's just in their pink slime, so they don't have to declare it.
You know, that's something I want to talk a little bit about. I'm glad you brought it up. I discovered dyes in meat by wearing some yellow shooter's goggles, some, you know, yellow lenses. And I was helping my wife shop. Of course, my job's to load the basket to lift. So I was walking around and, you know, wasting time until she had something big to lift. And I was in the, walking through the meat section. And I noticed that the color of the meat was different colors with these glasses on. Some were, you know, didn't change, but some were purple with the yellow lenses. And I'd take them off and look at it. And sure enough, it was the cheaper cuts of meats, and it was meat that I looked at the package to see if anything was declared on it. Now, they don't have to declare pink slime, and I really believe that they add colors, red dye, to pink slime. And they don't have to declare it because it's made from meat, so it's still meat or whatever. But I used to have a young kid, years ago, 30 years ago perhaps, that every time he'd eat hamburger, he would just be out of control. And I really believe that it was a red dye that was affecting that kid.
Because he could take a good cut of steak and grind it up and make it into hamburger and eat it, and there'd be no problem.
So it's a red dye. So red dyes in a lot of things that are not declared. So red dye just really used to wind this kid up, and we did it. You found out what he was allergic to by process of elimination. But if she wanted to feed him hamburgers, she'd take a nice steak and have it ground up. And it didn't affect it. So what hamburger? It was something else in it. Let's talk a little bit about how those colors are made. Red dye is made from bugs, the larva of bugs. And I really believe it's in such small, minute amounts that we are, I think most Americans are violently allergic to red dye. But beetle bugs, okay, larva. Yellow is made from lice, you know, so, yeah, I guess it's natural, but, oh, my goodness, you're eating lice and bugs. And I think most people are violently allergic to those colors. So that's why they're only put in with a little bit. And food, they call it a food dye or food grade dye. Same color. It's the same thing. It doesn't have to. It's the same thing. I can remember as a little kid, Mom, you would have colors in a cupboard to make, you know, stuff different colors. That's the dye we're talking about. It's nothing really special.
Well, I guess if you really want to know if this is true and you have a kid that's hyperactive and he's doing fine, take some of your red dye out of, food dye out of your fridge and put a drop on his tongue.
No, you can do that, but... you just start paying attention to, now right now, if you've got a child that's got behavioral problems and he's just wound up all the time, a couple of other things are happening. You are beginning to, out of defense, you are parenting this child differently. You try not to make a conflict. You let him get away with things because you have to weigh out, is this worth the fight? Well, I want you to know on the other side of cleaning this kid's diet up, that you're going to find out he's a wonderful, wonderful young man, young woman, and they are being victimized by these colors. So start with cleaning their diet up, particularly the colors. Now, there's a sidebar with excitotoxins. I think we've done a podcast on excitotoxins. If in our discussion we don't get off on excitotoxins, please go and listen to that one also. That will help you. But if you begin to clean up their diet, it's easier to clean up a person's diet if you begin to start cooking. Now, I know that that's not a popular subject amongst a lot of people. In fact, houses are being built with warming stations and not kitchens. So it's a lot easier if you begin to start cooking because that bread or that cookie that winds kids up, don't wind them up if it's made out of your kitchen as bad. A lot of times people think it's the sugar. Sugar is part of the process, but sugar accompanies red dyes and all those other things that lend to cookies and cakes and pastries and stuff like that. So it's not as much the sugar as the accompanying colors and dyes and things like that. We've got the there's times when we've got these kids pretty well cleaned up, and it's very seldom that they get into a problem. And if they eat out or they go to a birthday party, of course you want the kid to participate in stuff like that. You just need to have to pay attention and realize that his reaction is it's his responsibility because he ate the cookie, yes. However, I would suggest not punishing the kid, educate him, help him understand. You know, it'd be a good idea if you didn't eat red things. Instead of going to the mom and saying, oh, he can't have this, and he can't have that, and he can't have this, and don't feed him this.
Because when they're out on a camp out with the Boy Scouts or whatever, they're going to be getting everything they can. I grew up with a kid that, well, he's quite a bit younger than me, but whenever he went on a camping trip with us, he always had a little bit of money, and he bought the stuff that he didn't get at home.
So in other words, don't give your kid money.
He loaded up on it, and he went crazy. He would strip down and run around in underwear and just went insane on campouts and stuff. He was a handful because he would go for all of those things that he didn't get when he was at home, and man, did it.
Well, see, there's a difference between telling a kid you can't have, oh, you can't have that, can't do that. Help them, help work with them, help them understand. You can eat that, but it's not. You're going to have a headache, or you're not going to do well. You're really allergic to it. And if you help them understand, then they become an ally. I know that this young grandkid, in fact, he told me one day, he says, I can't eat that. And I said, what? He says, it has red dye in it. And I said, no, this one doesn't. I checked. And I said, why can't you have red dye? I was trying to test him. He says, because I get in trouble. And I thought, wow. You know, he made a conscious decision. And he was a little guy. He's about 4 or 5. And he says, I can't have that because I get in trouble. And he didn't want to get in trouble. So if we help educate our children, I think our children are very, very capable of understanding restrictions and things like that.
And also there's times where you just can't avoid all of it. Sometimes you need a little extra help besides just diet, and Chillin and Nerkalizer go a long ways for that. Even if your kid has gotten into some of those dyes and other stuff, the Chillin really helps to calm the nervous system down, to allow the kid to just go, okay, I can handle this. Just like an anxiety attack or anything else like that, Chillin makes a huge difference.
Helps support the nervous system, doesn't it?
It does. And the Nerqualizer helps to heal the nervous system over a period of time, so you'll need less of the Nerqualizer and Chillin. Kind of on a different subject, Nerqualizer and Chillin are both for the nervous system, and a lot of people say, why would I need one or the other? I have a friend that, it's not for ADHD, she has extreme, like, anxiety and depression and other things like that.
You're talking about your only friend? Is that
my only friend. No, I have a friend, and when she takes enough, when she just takes Chillin, she says she feels fine, but when she uses Chillin and Nerqualizer together, it just evens everything off. It takes care of it completely. The Chillin will take care of, like, the extreme emotions. You don't want to beat somebody up right now or just scream or pull your hair out, but the Nerqualizer really helps to level out the nervous system and helps you to be normal, to be yourself, and to deal with the stresses versus just react to the stresses and start to have major problems.
So then it would be a good therapy for those parents that have ADD children to help tone up their nervous system also.
Exactly, but also recognize in emergency situations, you know, the kid's freaking out, he's having a hard time, give him some Nerqualizer and Chillin. And that can help him to calm down very quickly and help him to get to the point that he can handle himself.
And then they'll come to you and say, you know, I need some Nerqualizer or Chillin.
And I worked with my manager. She's had some issues with depression and other things like that. And she said she's lived with people that are legally insane, and she's been insane. And I've listened to her talk to people, and she'd often ask people, what do you think is worse, being insane or living with someone that's insane?
Well, I think what's worse is not knowing you're insane.
Yeah. Well, she said, hands down, it's being insane for her because she's lived with both, and you have to deal with it. You don't have control. You're insane. You have no control of your body, and you're living with it, and you're being treated that way a lot of times. You can't get away from it. You're with an insane person in your head all the time. Oftentimes, I think that's why it's so much worse for kids whenever they have the ADD, ADHD is because it starts out and they lose control. And then they start being treated different and it makes it worse. And then they just have these feelings and they don't know what to do. And then they feel bad about it. And it just expands and they're living with this. And it's as worse for them than it is for the person that's dealing with it. And if you understand it in that aspect, it's a lot easier to have compassion for the kid and to help them to, you want to help them to calm down and be able to deal with themselves versus give them, have the attitude of, take this so I don't have to put up with you.
And that's terrible. I know that sometimes it's self-defense by parents, but what we teach them by doing that is that they're not normal, they're less than acceptable. Here, take this pill and go away. So I'd encourage you to be real sensitive to these children. Generally, these children are very, very, very intelligent, just wonderful kids, but they're just out of control, and it's colors and dyes and stuff like that. Now, also, if you've had a kid that's been off to grandma's house for a while, and she brings them back because they're just so out of control, detoxylation will help purge a lot of those chemicals out of the system faster also. So detoxylation is another help there. Now, it's pretty hard not to talk about neurological health when you're talking about ADD and things like that. So these herbs and things would also be helpful for those people that have, they're on antidepressants and different things like that. Without question, when people come in and they want to try an alternative therapy for antidepressants and for those type of problems, it has been fairly simple. And we know without a doubt that they're going to have some results because there's some very important specific nutrients that are required to help feed their body to so that they feel better. So narcolizer and chillin, and we use them in the proportion of one chillin to two narcolizer, and we would go up to probably six or so of narcolizer in proportion of chillin. And it is, without doubt, an awesome therapy because you free people from the dependence on being able to not have to rely on some other thing to control their emotions. They can feed their body and move on.
And this friend that I was talking about that takes the narcolizer and chillin, she said that she didn't know what it felt to be like to feel normal again, to not have those stresses and those anxieties. And she's gotten to the point that she knows what to do to take care of her stress. And then sometimes all she needs to do to take care of her stress is she gives her coworkers some chillin. And that settles her stress right now. She had a coworker that just bouncing off the wall, just crazy, and just driving her crazy. And so she gave her some chillin and narcolizer, and it just leveled her off for the rest of the day. And it just made her day great. She didn't have to take any more narcolizer and chillin.
So she stands at the front door and medicates everyone.
You take that. You're working next to me. You take this. No. but it really, the amazing thing is the narcolizer and chillin, you take three narcolizer, or two chillin and three or four narcolizer, within 30 minutes, you're just, you feel better. And you don't feel tired or different. It's just, you know how you feel really worked up when you get anxious or anything like that? Those feelings just wash away.
I have a patient currently that takes one narcolizer about twice a month. Because over the years of her dealing with her neurological challenges with narcolizer and chillin, and she took quite a bit for a while because she was under a lot of stress and strain. But now she says, I can tell when I need to take narcolizer and chillin. And you get to that point where, oh my goodness, it's going to climb on top of me. And she had some really issues and she calmed right down. But as your nervous system holds on to those nutrients and deals with things better, those dosages go down significantly.
There was, when I was working in Farmington, there was a kid. Well, there was a mother that came in, and she had a kid that's ADD, and she was looking for something. There was a specific herb, and I recommended chillin and herbalizer for this kid. And he was to the point that they were going to put him on Ritalin, or she was going to homeschool him because she wasn't going to put him on Ritalin. And they just couldn't handle him. The teacher couldn't put up with him. It was just, it was at an end. It had been long enough. So she was really desperate. She used the chillin' and Nerqualizer, and within the next time he was back to school, and I think it was over the weekend that she came in and did it, next time he was back to school, the teacher said it was 100% different. He was behaved, he had no problems, and he ended up being a star pupil.
The problem with these, well, a sidebar to these children is that most of them are very, very intelligent. And they would much rather disobey. It's like the kid in his head realizes when the teacher says, get in line, we're going to lunch. The kid realizes, I'm not getting in line and standing by them. I got things to do. I'm checking out how this desk is made. How did they do this? And they would much rather put up with a teacher whining and complaining at him and yelling at him than him getting off of his agenda and standing over there for 10 minutes. He's using his time differently. And a lot of times that's the challenge that teachers have, is that these children have a different agenda, and they're willing to put up with you whining and complaining at them. And helping them have some nutrients and minerals from the herbs that help these problems with so well, they're more in control. They don't get one channel. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Their world opened up for them.
Yeah, and they're willing to make a compromise or whatever. They have that emotional stability that it's like, well, I really want to do this other thing. It's more interesting, but I'll go stand in line because I should. Where the other time, sometimes when your nervous system is fried, it's just like,
I ain't standing in line.
Yeah, I feel great. You're gonna feel like great. I mean, sometimes it's just that way, and you get to the point that it's just, especially when they've had to deal with it a long time. When someone's had to deal with it a long time and they've been treated different and the teacher doesn't treat them good to begin with or whatever, it changes. But as their neurological system is able to repair and as they're able to calm down, the teacher treats them better and they feel more loved and feel more involved and everything, and it makes it easier for them to be compliant and not be a problem.
I've been sitting here thinking whether I was going to share the story, but I'm going to go ahead and share it. I had a mom and a dad bring a kid in. This kid was, he looked like a little Tasmanian devil. You know, he was just wound up. And the dad, his posture was, let's just put him on the chemicals that the teachers want him to take and not deal with it. He was done. He was tired. The mom, she didn't want to do that. So it felt like I was the deal breaker. They brought the kid in so that they could see what I was going to say so that they could make a decision, herbs or drugs. And I sit there and watch that little kid, and I watch the parents, and I realize that the whole family was miserable. The dad thought, well, I'll just do the chemicals. And yes, he straight up asked me what I thought about the chemicals. And I said, well, generally when parents use a chemical with their kids, they're doing it for themselves, not the kid. And he was mad. But, you know, people get used to me saying what I think. And he calmed down and I said, give me a week. And he decided to do that. But he was really for the chemicals because he was tired. He was wore out. He parented to the kid. He hardly talked to the kid because he didn't want him to get wound up. So he gave me a week, and in a week he actually came back with a wife, and he said, this is a different kid. I'm so grateful that you were nasty to me. Because I straight up, I said, if you put the kid on chemicals, you're doing it for yourself. It has the kid, all you're doing is making that kid, he will never have a lot of joy, he'll never have a lot of sadness. He will be in the middle of the road, and it's a miserable life. I said, he's going to get mad, but it's not going to overwhelm him. He's going to get sad, but it's not going to overwhelm him and overtake him. And that kid was remarkable. He settled down in school. He did what most all people that are treated for ADD and ADDH with vitamins, minerals, and nutrients. It was awesome. It really was. And good thing that that young father came in, and he was young and didn't want to hit an old man, because he was pretty bent out of shape when I told him that. But he came and actually admitted that he was grateful that I was nasty to him. So the bottom line is, most people operate in this world on the edge of being upset or sad. People that we work with are on the edge of being upset and sad. And many times we're the last straw. If that's the case, narcolizer, chillin', and watch your colors. Watch your colors. Colors should be on your page when you paint or on your canvas when you do art. It should never be in your belly. It should never be in your food.
Or done with things like putting carrot in something or something that's an actual plant that you're going to eat.
Beetroot, a little bit of beet will put a lot of red.
Put a lot of red, things like that make a huge difference. There are some colors in the ways that some companies actually take care of their foods, that they diet with things that you'd eat anyways.
Well, incidentally, chocolate cake is full of red dye. Yeah. You look at a recipe for, is that chocolate cake that's...
German chocolate?
Any chocolate cake has a tremendous amount of red dye. Chocolate. So pay attention to that. Make your stuff. Make your chocolate cake if you're going to make chocolate cake. But use different ingredients. Don't use those dyes. Kids will benefit. And if kids benefit, the whole family benefits.
And something I want to mention about Nerkalizer and Chillin' is that it's natural foods that are like eating broccoli. You're not going to destroy the kid or mess anything up by experimenting and using it symptomatically on the child.
Giving him a little more broccoli.
If you gave him three Chillin' and an hour later he's wound up again, give him three more. Or...
Well, you pick three.
Three or... give him...
You're giving him a hard time about three.
Well, three is a good number. So, or give him one Chillin' and two Nerkalizer. Find out what works for you and use it. But experiment with it, because each child's nutrient deficiency is different and how they're going to respond to it. So experiment with it and use it, because it will make a difference. And if it isn't making a difference, you're not taking enough. I knew somebody that had to take three Chillin' every 30 minutes to an hour to get to the point that she was stable enough to take it less.
I've had people, that's a good enough statement to just end this with, Scott. So please, if you have any questions further on ADD, ADDH, behavioral disorders, there's lots of books and resources that we can recommend to you that will help you. You're going to have to perhaps start parenting these children a little bit differently. Educate them. Your children are smart enough to understand and take responsibility for their own health. And never put them in a position that they feel different. Oh, I can't eat that. Or I can't eat that. Let them make their own decisions and choices. I said that was a good enough statement to end, so we're done.